All right. Hi, everybody. This is Larry Noto.
This is Garth Gerhardt.
And this is Two Guys.
And One Wall.
You're laughing already.
Sorry, but this is like our fifth take just doing the introduction. So I think we're just gonna go for it and see what happens.
We have no idea what we're doing. It's our first time. Our first entire podcast. We could have done a podcast on how to set up a podcast.
We could have all the
it's
time.
It's taken us about an hour and a half to get to this point.
It's not been fun. And it's like 10:15 now, and we should have been done with this, but it's okay because we learned a lot.
We did.
We now know how to podcast, and you've gone to my laptop and probably looked through my history when I went through the bathroom and
it's disturbing what I found. But anyways, okay. All right, so here we are. It's our podcast number one now. Two Guys, One Wall.
Yes.
Is the name of our thing here, and I guess we should give a little background, who we are, how do we know each other, and this is Garth Gerhardt sitting across from me, and he's a cartoonist for Mad Magazine.
And this is Larry Noto sitting across from me. He is a comic genius from Baltimore.
Why, thank you, Garth.
No problem. I've seen your show. And I wasn't even pretending to laugh. I genuinely Genuine laughter. I was genuinely entertained by your stage presence.
So those are the two guys. See what I'm going to do? I'm going to dissect the title.
Okay.
Two guys. We're the guys.
We're the guys.
The wall. Explain the wall. Where did the wall come from?
Okay, so about 5 years ago, I think it was.
Seven.
7 years ago. God, time flies. Larry and I were neighbors at a townhouse in the town that we live. So I moved in shortly after you.
Right, yeah.
And fairly new development, first house purchases for both of us, so we weren't...
That was your first, but I had literally moved out for the first time. I lived at home with my parents, so I was 30 years old. So let's just establish me as the dork early in the podcast.
I'm glad nobody...
This guy's a loser. This is
a
loser.
I know this about you. Nobody else does.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's the point of
telling
people this.
I've got all my jokes out of
this.
The way, so I'm dry.
Yes. Yes, this is why we're explaining. They don't know who we are. Mm-hmm. Normally, we don't get together. We don't just give each other our background.
Which
is
weird.
So, Garth, tell me about yourself.
I feel like I'm on some kind of demented game show. But
So we were
neighbors. I moved in shortly after you did at this particular place. We became pretty close friends pretty quickly. Obviously, there's a huge difference between the both of us as far as, like, lifestyle.
Now, what was your... Yeah, okay, so this is interesting because, well, first of all, I like the fact that we've already established that I'm the loser. And second, that the title of the podcast is irrelevant because we're not neighbors anymore.
I know.
But we're very close.
Yeah.
So because two guys about a mile and a half from each other wasn't catchy for a time.
Yeah, that's a little too long.
So two guys, one wall.
I think the URL was...
Do you remember that? Do you remember the first? Do you remember the first time you saw me, Garth?
Yeah, I did, and it actually, I think I was sitting outside.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
And
what were you doing with your hands there? Oh, playing that ping pong thing.
Yeah, playing the ping pong thing.
Yeah,
outside master.
I was like, who's that? No,
outside master.
No. Why would you say that? I kept it clean and with the one. What do you call that thing with the racket and the ball, the string attached? Battle ball?
Yeah, battle ball.
That was easy.
No,
and I was like, who is that slow man over there?
Why is he wearing a helmet? No, I think we just moved in, me and my wife Jennifer and
Jennifer.
Yeah, Jennifer. And you were coming in from work probably because you were wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And you were driving. That's when you drove your
That's
Audi.
Actually how I go to Panera Bread.
It is.
I take Panera very seriously.
You only go to Target.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I go to Panera.
Is that in Target? Is that one of those like Starbucks things that's in Target now? I swear to God, I've only seen you get into Target. And this could be another podcast.
We'll get into the Target obsession.
No, so I think I was outside. I think you were coming back home from work. We were in the process of moving all of our furniture in. You came in. You were driving your... sleek Audi TT. You're dressed to the nines with like your suit that you used to wear.
I sound wonderful.
Yeah, you are. You are a catch. I'm like, who's this yuppie asshole that I'm living next to? Oh,
that's
my God.
See, that is what your impression of me was. No,
that's
wasn't.
Well,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No,
yuppie,
right away,
that's so good.
Right away, when you pulled up, you like waved, you acknowledged me, so you weren't just in like your own head. So I'm like, you know what, this guy's okay. So and then
you know the truth is, I have such a fear of like being mean to somebody that, and this is not, I was being nice to you directly, but as I drive through the neighborhood, I just, as soon as I get about a mile from home, I just start waving because I'm afraid that I've passed a neighbor and they waved and I didn't see it. Or, did you see him? He drove by, he didn't wave. So maybe a half mile, I just start waving to people.
So you weren't genuine with me.
No, okay. Okay, did I not just tell you a second ago? I was genuinely, because you were my neighbor, but I'm just telling you, that's how afraid I am that somebody might not like me.
This might be our only podcast.
I start like I'm in a parade, like I'm a politician in a 4th of July parade. I slow down to like a Dealey Plaza dangerous pace. I lower the windows and I just start waving to people. And then, so no one can ever say that asshole drove by and didn't wave to us.
Okay.
In fact, probably they're going, Why is that asshole waving to us?
That weird guy.
We've never met that asshole. Yeah,
he probably thought you were like running for like the mayor of.
I don't care where he stands on the issues. He's a wave whore. That guy. He's a wave whore.
I wouldn't run with that on your platform.
Yeah, I'll wave for everybody. I'll wave for the working man. All right. So you initially think yuppie asshole. And no, but then I waved, which just goes to prove how quickly you're swayed. One wave and you're like a dog. No. You're like a dog. I waved to you and you're like, "This is my best friend."
Threw me a ball and I was yours.
There's a man of the people.
No, I thought you were a genuinely like nice person. I mean, usually, and I'm sure you're aware of that. I mean, you see someone with like the car. Because I'm not usually. I think it was really like the Audi. I just thought, I didn't think you were pretentious or anything, but I was like, wow, what kind of person drives that car? but as we discussed tonight, not many people had that car, so I really didn't know what to expect. I actually thought it was like, he shouldn't be living in like a townhouse if he's like rolling in an Audi TT. But no, you came out, you were very pleasant. You like said hi, and right away, I think as anybody who knows you, you know, you automatically have that calming sensation when you meet somebody. Like you're not like, you don't come across as an asshole is what I'm saying. Seems like a pretty decent guy.
Mm-hmm.
So what about me?
I just thought you were a dick.
I knew it. It's because I didn't wave. Damn.
Yeah, I just was like, oh God. You know, I just
I was too busy masturbating and playing paddleball.
Yeah, and I did notice that what do you call that? Ambidextrous? What is that with the both hands?
Ambidextrous.
Well, look who's the snob now, Mr. Big Fancy Words over there.
Too drunk. Either that, or it's just the indie.
Indiana Jones. Oh. We'll get to that. We just came back from a epic 9-hour 4-movie.
It was beyond epic.
Beyond epic. That might be overselling it, but no. Indiana Jones. I wish. What do you call it? It's not a trilogy.
It's a marathon.
Anything over 3 becomes a marathon. No. Well, because you would say if there was 3, we could say, we went to the Back to the Future trilogy. We saw the Godfather trilogy. When they had that 4th, then what happens?
Four-ligy.
No, that's not right. No. All right, my impression of you was that you were very cool. That was the thing, because you know what I mean? Like
you've told me this before, man, and it's
well, you know, so you got like true. like spiky hair, not like a punk rocker, but you know what I mean? You had like cool hair, and you were probably wearing some sort of cool retro T-shirt or something, making you sound like a hipster.
I should be driving the TT.
and your skinny jeans, and you were on a skateboard. We met when you were 12. Remember that? So my sense was that you would think that I was a dork. That's my sense was.
Wow, we were so off on all instances, but I think it's if that was your first impression, I think that as time went on, I think we just kind of found our balance, right?
Like yes. Well, I remember because you said, do you want to try this? Yeah. And I said, the masturbating or the paddleball? And you said, either. And I said, there's a man who's open to ideas. Which I also found out later.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should get into that.
No, that's another
point. That's
a midnight podcast.
He's got a firm grasp. Oh. So we lived next door to each other, and the wall was between us. You didn't hear a lot in those townhouses, did you? Yeah, there was not.
Did you hear? Well, I'm married, so you didn't hear anything. But you're the swinging.
Yeah, I heard a lot. I heard a lot of sigh and regret.
That just came through the vest.
I heard a lot of broken dreams.
I heard a lot of I'm not 18 yet.
That was me saying that because I like to role play. I'm a little boy. I don't know what that I am. Oh, please. What's funny is I think what makes this interesting is there's things that are very similar between us. But yet there are traits about each of us, I think, that the other one should have.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before.
Well, yes, I know, but
I'm agreeing with you because I think when you first mentioned that to me, I like a light bulb went out off.
that's when you know you have a bad idea. You said that to me, and a light bulb went off.
We really shouldn't be drinking. Yeah.
Okay, we've had two sips of Matt. By the way, we should tell them. We have to tell every them. By the way, like there's people listening to this. We're drinking Manhattans. I hope our mothers aren't listening to this. That you made. You've introduced me to the Manhattan.
You're a fan of the Manhattan.
I am.
My father-in-law actually and mother-in-law actually introduced them to me, and they're fucking amazing. They're Southern Comfort, sweet vermouth, and cherry.
I knew you were going to go into the how to make a Manhattan.
Okay, well, that's it.
That's it? That's all you're giving
us?
That's it. All right. That's all I'm eating. Well, it's very good, and I'm enjoying them. Okay, so the thing is that I am a comedian. No, but you're a cartoonist, so you're sort of a comic in a different way. Medium. But in terms of personality, in terms of a I'm the one on stage. Okay, so in terms of public persona, I'm on the stage putting myself out there as a comedian where you're putting your work out in a strip. But a comedian really shouldn't care what people think about them.
Right.
You know, and what's – I'm almost enviable of you is that – I mean, if I said that – this is what I want to know. I was thinking about this today. If I said to you – I don't hesitate to say it. That you don't care what people think.
No, no.
But that's not true. You don't?
Well, not really. I mean,
right?
I guess overall, yeah, I don't really care.
All right. Well, that's great.
Do you?
Well, do I? I wave to people a half mile from my house.
Because that means you
yes, I care. I care too much what people think. It is one of my flaws.
Okay,
I should have just said the flaw because there's flaw.
That's really it. So maybe that's it. Maybe I'm that extreme of don't give a shit, and you're the extreme of shit too much, and then
there are things that you put on Facebook that a comedian should. You know what I mean? Like a real comic in New York that's, you know, all this controversy about what's off limits and what's really in comedy. There shouldn't be anything off limits. That's what comedy is all about. But you had a post about Ellicott City the other day. It's not too soon. I don't know. It was an accident in Ellicott City. We just won't get into it. But and there was tragic results of it. And you said you were going to Ellicott City. We're going to take the train. But ..
Yeah.
Did you get any comments about that or anything?
I did. One person said it was funny.
And that's it?
And that was it.
See, but yeah. I would be too afraid of – I'm not bold enough to do that.
Well, here's why I think I have diplomatic immunity when it comes to that is because the comedy and the work I do is all restricted to the visual medium, right? So I write the strip. I draw the strip. I don't have really a face to it. Like – if anybody knows me, it's by name or the character that I do for the comic.
Yeah, but you're putting these things on your Facebook page. Yeah. You didn't write that in your strip.
Yeah, but still. And also, I think if you think about the Facebook, these are your friends, right? And if they're truly your friends and they know you, like obviously I might make fun of a tragedy, like deep in my heart.
No, you're not a jerk. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But you're not afraid of...
I'm a little bit of a jerk.
I don't know. That's a harsh word. I won't go that far. Maybe by the end of the hour, I'll say it. But, you know, another example is what you did with the restaurant, Ram's Head Tavern, where you were just – you know, tell them what you did.
Do you want to get into this now? We're supposed to do the indie thing.
We'll get to Indiana Jones. There's no rules.
So there's – I don't know. I get really bored during the day. Like, I don't have, a very exciting, job. I'm a graphic designer for – some places I really don't want to mention, but it doesn't really require that much creativity. So sometimes throughout the day, I like to fuck around a little bit. And part of that is, people that I like on, restaurants that I like on Facebook, they'll post something, hey, welcome to our two-night, $2 drink day. And I'll just find
– they say in that voice?
Yeah, it's that voice.
Hey, welcome to our $2.
I think that's new update that you have to download for the Facebook to get the –
to get the voice?
Yeah, the voice. But no, so I'm just dicking around. I really have nothing against Ram's Head. I've only really been once. And actually, I think you actually scolded me about that. Like, they're my friends, too.
I didn't scold you.
These people read. I'm Larry fucking Noto. These people read your tweets.
I have no idea what you're talking. I did not scold you.
Yes, you did. You said, Ramhead's going to know that you're my friend because they're going to look at your page and see that Ramshead also knows Larry Noto.
Oh, so it comes out. You've never said this to me. And now you wait. We're going to have this now?
No, I thought it was funny. So I want to apologize, actually, if I put you in any kind of, like, harm's way with the wrath of Ramshead.
I could never eat there again.
Sorry.
But no, I wasn't afraid of...
I tweet about, or Facebook about Target, then you're really going to be...
Scared. I will be very upset about that. So, anyway, so I just think that's interesting. I think the other interesting thing is that you are the one that has a wife and kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very single, and also
you hear that, ladies, very single.
Like, there's women listening to this, and I also am the one with you know, the Disney obsession and the Muppet obsession. So I go to Disney World at least once a year. I just was at a Disney event, archive event last night in Philadelphia. And I have no kids. I should be living, I should be out drinking and making rude comments about to restaurant chains. I should be saying, fuck the man. And instead, I'm going to Disney World. And you are the one with the wife and kids.
Yeah, so it's kind of like one of those, like, bad 80s movies. Like, we both, like, wish for something in the morning.
I never thought about
that. It's like the change-up, right?
Yeah,
So probably somewhere throughout our life, like, we laid down, not together, but, like, laid down to sleep, like, one night, and we wish, like, oh, I wish I had, like, the single life. And then you said, oh, I wish I had the married life. So there's some kind of weird thing going on there. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think if anybody, like, actually, like, saw us together and kind of like just got a brief things of what we do in our life, they probably would assume that you were the one with the wife and kids.
Oh, there's no doubt.
You look like a husband. It's weird to me that you're not yeah, married. You do. That's not a bad thing. But you look like a husband.
Well, how? How do I look like a husband?
Well, you're wearing a white t-shirt and it's tucked into your pants.
Okay, first of all,
it's true.
That is a dick move.
Dude,
right there. First of all, I only have a white t-shirt on because it was underneath a button-down. What the fuck? I took it off because it's hot.
Look at what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
I've worn this all day.
Shorts.
I dress like a 12-year-old boy. Like, I don't look like no husband goes out like this.
Oh, I don't know. There's some husbands that, like, want... Like, I feel like dads more and more want... Like, I have a friend. He's in his 40s, and he's wearing Aeropostale shirts or whatever that's called. I'm like, dude, you cannot...
What's her name?
You cannot wear... No, it's a man. You can't wear... No, the women, that's fine. They can dress however
joking.
They want.
What's her name?
Oh, gotcha.
Only girls dress in Aeropostale.
Oh, really? Oh, well, maybe... I don't know. Maybe it's Abercrombie and Fitch. I don't know what it is. But I don't wear, first of all... I would never wear just a white t-shirt tucked into my jeans walking around like I'm in like I'm a jet about to start a rumble or an extra in Greece.
I can just say what I saw. No, today, granted, you were but still, even going out today, you I would assume like if two people looked at us and we'll post the picture.
I had a button down. This is not about dad. I am upset that you think that people telling people I'm wearing a white t-shirt tucked into my. It was underneath a button down, a very nice button down that was untucked.
There. You don't have to get defensive.
I'm not defensive. I'm explaining the situation.
I don't want to see the Larry rage come out. Okay, I haven't seen it yet.
You're
going to
see it.
To.
You keep telling people I tucked my white t-shirt into my pants.
All I'm saying though is even if I wore a button down t-shirt and. I wouldn't have tucked
Who has
in
a button-down t-shirt?
No, I mean a button-down shirt. I wouldn't have tucked in the t-shirt.
Underneath?
Underneath.
But nobody even sees the t-shirt.
Exactly. Isn't that uncomfortable when you tuck that in?
First of all, I think I did it because I didn't want it to be showing out of the bottom of the button-down.
But that's...
That's the style?
That's
Is that what you were going to say?
I know what these kids are wearing with their Abercrombie and Fitch and...
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, well, where were we today? What did we do? Enough of this. Where were we? What happened today?
Mad. I don't want you to get mad.
No, I'm not mad.
I was kidding.
I know.
And I understand the whole t-shirt thing. I understand that you tucked it in because you didn't want it to poke out of your button-down shirt.
So you think to tell me, had I had the t-shirt untucked under the button-down, people would be like, oh, there's a single guy. But because of underneath the button-down, where no one can see the t-shirt,
I think that
they got a dad vibe?
I think that if you would have lifted to grab something in the Indiana Jones Marathon, like I don't know, the screen pulled back and there was a problem with the screen and you like jumped up on the screen to like fix it. And you had
what
to
are
raise
you
your...
talking about? Just why wouldn't you just say I dropped popcorn or something and I
because
bent
you
over?
You don't raise over. No, I'm talking if you like raise your hand up because then you people will be see you
so,
where you're tucked
so
in.
So your scenario is that something happened to the
you're
screen.
You're not going to see your t-shirt if you're bending over to
the
pick
screen,
up
but the screen. First of all, when was the last time you saw a screen that broke? What's happening?
No. Like, something was on the screen. You had to go, like, wipe it off. And you just... Because that would have been your calling. That would have been your time to shine.
What? So if somebody projectile vomited onto the screen, I would have been like, excuse me, everyone, I'll be right back.
And you wanted to follow Indiana's adventures, and you didn't want to, like, look at that that piece of...
Do you think I would walk up to the screen and wipe the screen off?
No, it's not real. You didn't really do that. I'm just saying. All right. Okay.
And I reached up.
You reached up to clean.
So high that my untucked button down came up over my belt.
No. You reached up while the screen was being projected and everybody could see you in the theater.
Right.
And you reached up and people saw under your button shirt to see your t-shirt tucked in. I bet you 99% of the people in that theater would be like, look at that married guy. He has his soul's been crushed already. His wife made him tuck in his shirt.
Now, why doesn't your wife make you tuck in your shirt?
Because I don't wear the pants in this family, man. She don't tell me what to do. See how I went up? No.
Where is your wife? Yeah, she's
upstairs.
She's
sleeping.
He says in the corner of the house that he has this magnificent. I wear the pants. Is that why we're in the one unfinished corner of the basement? This is a very nice, lovely home. Right, with many rooms. Some rooms that, by the way,
are furnished
that don't have any furniture. They're not being used. Right. So she would rather have the room
pretty empty and
unfurnished than to have you have your stuff in there.
Exactly.
So we're in the basement, in the
unfinished part of the
portion of the basement.
Right.
You clearly are in control. You clearly are the man of this house.
I choose to be in this place. No.
You chose poorly.
No, I
to
think...
quote Indiana Jones.
You chose
poorly.
All right. So I'm not.
I'm
ragging,
just giving you.
I'm not ragging
time.
You on the t-shirt.
All right. I've overreacted.
No, not you.
Oh, what is that?
No.
That's how you feel?
I don't want to say what happened an hour ago. We were trying to figure out the mics, and you almost threw my laptop on the floor.
That is not true.
Anyway.
Okay.
Right,
you know what? You know. No. I just want to say one thing.
All right. You say one thing.
We can speak the truth. But I never.
You never did.
No.
I was exaggerating.
A few words.
You were getting.
I said a few words.
For you, I've never seen the Larry Rage yet. I'm interested.
And you haven't seen it yet.
Yet.
The Rage.
I want to see it so bad.
You're going to see it. You keep talking about it. Tell people.
You know my wife's a therapist, too, so we need to really kind of try to figure out, like.
Where it comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be interesting to do, like, an online therapy session.
Please.
No. All right, so.
Okay.
So, Larry.
Yes.
Today, you and I. Mm-hmm. We're witness to something that probably will only come once in our lifetime.
Okay.
To even describe this, it's almost like I would need Morgan Freeman to narrate this because this was epic. This was almost a journey through time.
Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. I was thinking, okay, so we saw the Indiana Jones marathon. I was just going to say a marathon. We saw all four Indiana Jones films that were playing at the local theater.
On the big screen.
On the big screen.
Right.
And... basically, it was a portal through time. I mean, there we were watching movies that we watched as a kid on the big screen.
Right.
In order, in succession. And I don't know. Immediately, I was transported back to being like 8 years old and seeing like Indiana Jones. I felt like, you know, that pit in my stomach when you didn't know if Indiana was going to get away from the rolling boulder.
Right.
Or
right.
Kate Capshaw's bad acting. I mean, you were just.
You were
gunning for Indy to win.
Well, I love, you know, that's the thing. I mean, particularly in this day and age with all this technology and iPads and, you know, people. I mean, it's great. The home theater experience is great. But most kids today are watching these a lot of this stuff on phones and iPads and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And these movies this is the way a film is meant to see. On the big screen with an audience. And so to me, to see some of these classics, you know, like I remember I saw The Godfather, which is one of my favorite movies.
Ugh.
The 25th anniversary. You don't like The Godfather?
Yeah.
Oh, mother of God!
You're Italian. I mean, you...
What don't you like about The Godfather?
We'll have to get that in.
No. Let's get into it right now.
I don't understand what the... the hype is. I watched it once, and I was like, I watched the trilogy once, and I was like, eh, I could take it or leave it. It just didn't really speak to me.
Well, this might be our last podcast.
But go on. Go on.
All right. So, I'm just saying it's great to see it with an audience and on the big screen, and the credits come up, and, you know, I mean, so what were your thoughts of the films?
All right, well, let's start with the audience itself first. So the movie, the day actually started at about 10:30, I think the first movie was. We show up at 10:30, right? Is that the time Raider started, I think?
No, we got there at 10. I picked you up
We got there at 10. We got there at 10.
We got lanyards.
We got free posters that they gave out.
Uh-huh.
In the back of our lanyards, there was a little idol from the Raiders.
Right.
Picture of it. And then the back had each show time. So there was a 20-minute gap in between each film. So we got there. Immediately you walk in and you just know that if anybody is going to dedicate basically the entire Saturday to this movie, they're going to be a fan of film in these movies. So
right.
We're fans. I mean, I know personally I've always been a fan of Indiana Jones. Even the fourth one, it's got its flaws, but it didn't soil the entire like mythos of Indiana Jones for me. But we get there, and so automatically I think if you're there, you're a fan. But there were people dressed up.
Now, that did not surprise me. Did it surprise you?
That surprised me.
Really? Oh, this is like a fan. This is like Otakon. This is like Comic-Con. You know what I mean? Like, to your point, if you're going to this thing, you're an Indiana Jones fan. So a diehard fan, they're going to show up in costume. I mean, people go to the Batman movies in costume.
Here's my problem.
I wanted to make a joke, but I didn't have the guts. No, because I couldn't make the guts. Some people bring guns. I know. That's terrible.
Someone brought a whip and just started like hitting people.
Well, that was okay. So there was a guy in full. No, that move on. There was a guy in. That's where you were going, right? The guy who was in full Indiana Jones costume.
No, I was going to make another point, but go ahead.
Oh, we'll go ahead and make your point.
No, you first. You start.
No, go ahead. Go.
God, we're married. Okay, I was going to say in reference to the people coming in dressed as costume, I wouldn't have expected it in this movie specifically because I would think, as an Indiana Jones fan, after Indiana Jones, I'm walking around town where we went to saw the little avenue in White Marsh, dresses Indiana Jones. Now, automatically, if someone sees you in a fedora and a leather jacket, I don't know, unless they know that you just came from Indiana Jones, they might just think, like, this guy's just a fucking weirdo. Like, who wears a fedora? It's not like going to see, like, a Batman trilogy and dressed up as Batman. Like, oh, that guy's Batman. But I don't know if anybody would get, because the Indiana Jones we saw weren't Indiana Jones. They were like 500-pound guys.
500 pounds.
There was like a 90.
Maybe they were going immediately home. You don't know they were running errands.
That's why it surprised me. I was surprised, and I've gone to a lot of Comic Cons, and you've gone to a lot of those like Disney things, and I think
have you ever dressed up
to a Comic Con?
No. Yeah, but you would wear a themed T-shirt, right?
Yeah, I'd wear a T-shirt. Yeah, I mean, I wear those to work.
Would it be tucked in? You cocksucker! You son of a bitch!
It would not be tucked in.
So, yeah, well, there weren't too many people. There were a lot of hats, Indiana Jones hats, which could easily be removed, and then they could go about their errands. Mm-hmm. And a leather jacket can be taken off. But the guy was in a full-blown, and so in between one of the breaks, he had the holster. We thought it was a gun.
Yeah.
He had the whip. I mean, the whole shebang.
Which really freaked me out.
The whip?
No,
the gun.
The gun. No, I'm fine with whips. Yeah,
I know. Your wife is reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, she is.
She's. So, I saw him outside, and I knew how much you liked this guy, so I tried to casually take a picture. And the first two were from a safe distance. And then, like, I guess he started walking, and I didn't realize. And next thing I know, basically, I'm holding the phone in his face. And, of course, now I feel guilty because I feel like he feels I took his picture and I don't want him to think I'm making fun of him. So now I'm having a personal crisis and I'm just hoping I can avoid him the whole time. So I don't know if you know this, the one time I went to go to the bathroom, he's in the bathroom. There's only two people in the bathroom. It's me and Indiana Jones.
Did he have a big snake?
And he I don't. There were the little dividers. Thank God for the little dividers. Okay. But I don't know if he – I think – anyways, he started a conversation with me. Like a lot, we had talked for a long time. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing: he didn't have a gun because I always thought after what happened in Denver with the Dark Knight that they would not have let him bring a gun in. And so he had the same thought process. So it was just a holster, but it really looked like a gun was in it. But there was no gun. And he said, "Well, I was afraid that they'd give me a hard time on the, about the whip. And I was like, this is terrible. But I was thinking that, like, if a madman did burst into the Indiana Jones showing, and like, there might be terror for a second, and then he just, you know, and then he said the whip is not that dangerous. Like, okay, someone's with a whip, you just take a step back, and you're good.
That's a horrible, but it's true.
Just comes in.
It's true.
Just somebody's like, oh, I'll show them. Yeah. I'm just going to start whipping everybody.
I'm the biggest indie fan. No, but I don't know if you knew this or not, but I went dressed as Marcus Brody.
Now you have a thing about Marcus Brody. You were just complaining about it the whole damn day. I never noticed it. Okay. Well, you were obsessed with two things about Marcus Brody. The first was his thumb. You won't shut up. I've never heard somebody more obsessed about a thumb in my life.
I've never seen this before, and I think this is again why you have to see movies like this again on the big screen. And I don't know if anybody else listening has noticed this, but Marcus Brody on his right hand, I think.
I have no idea. This is your obsession.
Marcus Brody, the actor who plays him, I don't know his name, but the guy who plays Marcus Brody is missing the tip of his thumb on his right hand, and you would never see that on Blu-ray or DVD. And right away, in the first scene in Raiders when they showed Marcus Brody, there it was. Clipped at the first joint, and I could not take my eyes off of the stumpy Marcus Brody thumb.
There was a stunt thumb. You start whispering. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
There's a stunt thumb.
I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Not stump thumb. Stunt. Well, it was a stump thumb, but it was also a stunt thumb.
He had a stunt thumb because of his stump thumb.
Yeah, so when he's in the
I finished my drink, if you haven't noticed.
You can have coffee.
No, that's coffee's done. I was just saying because I'm slurring my words.
Okay, you probably better stop because you're the backbone of this podcast. Yeah. No, so
that'll explain why it's going so smoothly.
It's going great.
Look, yeah, it's good. It's great.
We're only at 30 minutes, and we still got a lot to cover.
Oh god.
So Marcus, they had a stunt thumb in Last Crusade when he was holding up the Grail diary. It was a stunt thumb. It wasn't Marcus Brody's real thumb because it was intact. I was obsessed with that.
Did you hear that? The audience just gasp.
I know. They're going to. I bet you they're totally going to go.
No one cares about this as much as you do.
Now, if George Lucas, because he was the writer, right? Or he didn't direct
it. The producer. He didn't write it. He was the producer. By George Lucas is not written by George Lucas.
Yes, but if George Lucas can go into all those goddamn Star Wars movies and add shit that we don't need to see, he can go into the fucking Indiana Jones trilogy and give Marcus a goddamn thumb.
So what you're going to say, you're out there, you're the only person waiting for the Marcus Brody full thumb diamond edition.
And when that comes out, I'm buying a fucking
digitally remastered.
Now, with more thumb. That's all you need to do to advertise it.
So I haven't seen these movies in a long time. There are movies that I kind of know inside and out. Mm-hmm. And we're both movie buffs. But it was great because I have there were scenes that came back to me, but I didn't know exactly what was happening. There was certainly a lot that I didn't remember. So to me, and sometimes this is the other thing. Sometimes you go back and you watch a classic, and you're like, well, to your point, you didn't like The Godfather. You don't get what it's about. Mm. And there's certainly been movies I've watched, none that I can remember right now. But to me, Raiders of the Lost Ark held up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you enjoyed it?
Yeah, and I think the first time... So my favorite... No, because I wanted to tell you this, but I don't really know how it's going to come across, because it's going to sound a little bad and a little weird, but right. I probably saw Raiders of the Lost Ark. I remember seeing it when it first came out, so I was probably around 8 or 9 at the time. Mm-hmm. To me, when I first saw Raiders of the Lost Ark at the theater, there was a lot of action in there, but there's also a lot of story. I think if you can look at the movie now, there's a lot of story, a lot of plot that builds up to the action. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of investigating. There's a lot of digging. You know what I'm saying? They're spanning the globe. But it's not like fast-paced action. That's what I liked when I was a kid. So even though I liked Raiders as a kid, it was a little boring to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part was I didn't really understand I didn't know anything about Nazis. So I didn't know why they were so bad. Like they're fighting these Nazis, but I'm like, these guys are just like hanging out. They're not really doing anything. They just want to dig. I didn't know who Hitler was. So no, but watching it again, I'm like, wow, those Nazis are really bad. Knowing what I know now, I'm glad Indiana Jones is sticking it to them. I told you it's gonna. I told you it's gonna sound bad. It's not my fault. I didn't know. So, nobody told me about the genocide.
Yeah, perhaps someone could have just given you. It takes about 2 minutes to cover why the are the Nazis bad?
And we didn't have the internet back then. Nobody knew what it was about.
You, you had people around you who knew history.
Nobody talked to me.
Nobody cared. No one loved me enough to tell me about the Nazis.
So I didn't really know. So
you were out there going, "Well, I don't know why they're picking on these. Yeah, why are this Hitler guy? He signed the autograph. I don't know why it seemed that was.
No, I knew by the third.
That was the Oh yeah, that was the third one.
So
yeah, right.
So I think that my. From the nostalgia standpoint, second was probably my best because I identified like, hey, these guys are kidnapping kids and tearing out hearts. These are bad, bad people.
Are you sure? Because I remember seeing the second one and I saw these kids being whipped and I was like, I didn't know enough about child labor laws. You know what I mean? Like nobody, I didn't know the history of child enslavement.
That didn't register to you? The heart coming out?
I thought that was kind of cool. But but I didn't it didn't resonate with me while the children. I was like, well, they seem to be productive.
They're hard workers.
I'm sure
they're going to be very successful as adults.
They're working towards a goal, and they're probably keeping pricing down, which is good for the everyday person. You know what I mean? If you keep, but it wasn't until afterwards that someone I was going to bring that up.
Bad movie. And then I went back,
but I still didn't understand Nazis. Wow. So, okay. That is a first. People were like, I didn't.
But I mean, can you understand that?
Yes.
I mean, it makes me sound like I don't want to sound like a dick. Like,
well, I bet watching the fourth one, there's a lot of kids that don't understand the Cold War. You know what I mean? And we'll get to the fourth, but they don't understand the nuclear, threat. Yeah. You know what I mean? They didn't there's probably a lot of kids who saw the fourth one who have no idea half the references in that movie.
Exactly.
But so the first one is it holds up. It's a classic. It's well done. Mm-hmm. I was into it the minute it started. I was captivated.
Did
the
you
story.
Kind of revert back to that age, or I mean,
no, maybe. I could see it today. I actually remember Temple of Dune and Last Crusade. I don't remember seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark as a kid. Obviously, Indiana Jones is a character. I revert back to Indiana Jones as a kid, and that character. But even if it just came out today, I'm saying it captured my interest right off. Now. One of the things I remember the most from Raiders is the villain guy. Is he Asian? He's like looks Balak. A little. Is that his name? Balak.
Balak. Yeah.
The guy who's
the French guy.
No. The guy whose face. The guy who burns his. The medallion.
No, he's German.
He is. He looks Asian to me. It's always confused me.
Really dark, straight hair.
Right?
Racist. Yeah, he doesn't really fit the typical, like,
I don't know
stereotype.
Just to call me racist.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
He wasn't the stereotypical, like, German, like, German role. He wasn't, like, the blonde hair, blue eye. Yeah.
the thing I love about that's one of my biggest memories as a kid is that face melting at the end of it.
Me too. I think that's every kid.
And that medallion being burnt at his hand.
Yeah, I think they actually had I remember the action figures when they came out.
Oh.
They had Indiana Jones action figures, and that guy actually on his action figure had like the little imprint of that, and that was like his like weapon. Like, stop or I'll use my imprint of the staff.
Oh, that was his thing.
That was it. That's all I really remember. He didn't have that cool like.
I meant to do this before we started, was I want to look up that guy and see what else he was in. Because, like, you know, like, that's it. That's his only – he is so, like, he could play nothing else. Like, there's no crossover potential with him. Like, he's not appearing on, like, like Law and Order or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Do you think that, like, still at this time, if he's still alive, he tries to go to, like, restaurants in, like, Beverly Hills and they're like, sorry, sir, we can't seat you, like – do you know who I am?
No, he probably goes, we're not
thirsty. Yeah, like, don't you know who I am? I was a bad guy. Look at my hand.
Yeah, he kept that prosthetic on forever.
It's all dirty and grungy, peeling off. He has to reapply it, like, every couple months. guy was great.
Yeah, he's like, he is one of the, you know, the most evilest villains, right? And then his big, jab at the wow, I can't remember anybody's name. The female character, Marion, is what does he say? Oh, just like an American, always overdressing for the occasion.
Yeah,
I'm like, ooh.
Tough German.
Oh God! Did he just insult our fashion sense?
I think he did. Get him, Indy.
You mean to tell me it didn't? That didn't click on you? How terrible the Nazis are then for you when you heard that jab?
Now I understood why he wanted to.
And then he says that, and then he pulls out his own little nunchuck traveling hanger. Yeah. Talk about overdressing.
I kind of remember that too as a kid, seeing that part and thinking that it was clever, but I was a stupid kid.
Yeah. So the other thing that you liked was the Life magazine.
Oh, yeah. That guy. Well, I think we both kind of chuckled at that, and the people sitting around us probably thought we were not right in the head. But, yeah. And I think, as you know, like in any movie back then, before the audience nowadays was so in tune to, like, good versus evil, you had to have, well, let's set the stage, right? Indiana Jones walks into the plane to go to see Marion in Nepal. And he gets on the plane, and there's obviously Nazis, which we all know now are bad, evil people.
Yes, we've all been brought up to speed. So,
there's a Nazi in the back, and he has to pee. He's reading the Life magazine. And what does he do, Larry, to show that he's evil? He pushes the magazine down ever so slightly to show his eyes staring at the back of Dr. Jones' seat.
Right.
And you made an excellent, excellent point about why this movie cannot be made today.
You can't make that today, because today it would be like an iPad or like an iPod, or he's just like reading his thing and then just like slowly lowers his iPod.
It's not as menacing with an iPod.
No, he's like playing Angry Birds.
You hear the music in the background.
They're like, oh. Yeah, not as menacing as a giant Life magazine.
That thing, those magazines were huge. Right?
They were. It was so big, the person in the suit next to him was holding the other half. When he loaded, the other guy like peeked over and he's like, what's going on?
I want to see that extra extended scene as well as Marcus Brody's extra thumb when they do that. No, but I think, as you said, Raiders still holds very strong. And we talked about it, too, that Dr. Octopus is in that movie at the very beginning.
Alfred Molina, one of my favorite actors, actually.
Is he really?
Yeah, he really is. He was in a movie called The Imposters with Stanley Tucci and the people who made Big Night. It's a sort of madcap. It's extremely funny if you like slapstick comedy. And that was like the movie that like, sort of introduced him to me. And then, and of course, Spider-Man 2 is one of the best. Mm-hmm.
Did I watch Spider-Man 2?
But were you a fan of it?
Oh, of course.
Of 2. How did you feel about 1 and 3?
I liked 1, 3. You know,
3 was horrific.
Did you see the
new one?
Yeah, I liked it.
It's supposed to be great. I have to see it.
Oh, well, maybe that'll be our next movie review.
People are pining. Yeah. What did they think of that movie that came out 3 months ago?
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
What kind of observations will they come up with that one? What did you think about Temple of Doom?
Now, Temple of Doom was my absolute favorite as a kid. I think at that time, and as I brought up before, was the nostalgia effect.
Mm-hmm.
I was at that perfect age when that movie hit. I remember exactly the theater I saw it. I remember the feeling I had when I saw it, and I remember wanting to be Indiana Jones after I saw it. I mean, just like wanted to get the hat. I thought that once I saw the movie, I'm like, I'm going to be an archaeologist. I'm gonna wear a cool hat, and apparently some people in the audience lived out that fantasy. I never followed through with it, but I remember seeing that, and that was just the perfect age. They had Short Round, the little Asian kid, who I think was could all the kids in the audience could identify with him.
He was really funny. He was really funny. Except the only thing that annoyed me about him is like when he would laugh. Uh-huh. And he laughed it.
Laughed it.
Jesus. He laughed the way people text today. So he just was like, ha 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 ha. That's funny. I laugh out loud.
Raff out loud.
That's R-O-R. Racist. I'm the racist.
R-R-R.
Raff out loud. Why don't you just text me roar? Yeah.
I'm a lion roar.
Put him up. That was gay. So he was just like, ha ha ha, that's funny.
Yeah,
very funny.
But he didn't annoy me at all compared to Capshaw. I guess because she was fucking Steven Spielberg at the time.
Yeah, were they married then?
I think they got married after. I guess we should do research before we do these things. You can go on your computer.
Because I know people are upset right now that we haven't.
Like, God damn it, why aren't they giving me information? Yeah, I'm being entertained, but why can't I be informed, too?
I wouldn't go that far. I thought, you know, from the beginning, you know, that's the thing. If you watch the opening of all three films, particularly
You're not counting four, are you?
No, even four.
Because you said three films.
Oh, well, the other three is what I meant. If you look at the other three, particularly one and three, they open with very dramatic, very sort of tense scenes. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they thought, too, we would open with a big show number. Like, this is going to be some big Busley Berkeley musical from the 20s, right? And it turns into this, like, all the films have sort of madcap action where it's like, oh, of course there's snakes, and of course there's alligators, and of course the bridge is going to give out. Okay, so those are sort of those Saturday matinee, what sort of perils are going to happen next.
Right.
But this was vaudevillian in terms of like...
Good word.
Thank you. It's written down right here for me.
See, yes.
Vaudevillian. I couldn't come up with ambidextric, so I still can't say that word, but I got vaudevillian.
Impressive.
Yeah. So, you know, the scene is and the band is playing and then they start kicking the diamond. How many times is this diamond going to be kicked? And how many times are you going to jump and just fall within your grasp and then somebody kicks it across the floor? And then the thing that bothers me more than anything is the band, two things. The band kept playing and the showgirls kept doing the show.
I noticed that too.
Like,
oh. People were getting skewered with like, they're getting like impaled with like skewers of meat.
But the show must go on. That's a dedicated.
Come on, guys.
That clarinet player is like.
We're not getting paid to watch this massacre here. We're getting paid to play and we will play.
And then it was like, it just became, the balloons dropped. You know what I mean? Like, Indiana Jones has faced. Like some of the, you know, darkest souls and the lost, you know what I mean? Like Jesus, the soul of Christ himself, right? You know, ghosts and face melting things. Now there's balloons. Oh, balloons. Watch Why out. Do they have to be balloons?
Don't look at the balloons, Mary. Close your eyes.
Why did it have to be Mylar?
Mylar.
So I am.
So you didn't dig the beginning.
Yes. Anything goes. It was awful. She's horrible.
Yeah.
And to me, ruined the movie. After they got to that scene in the kid and the Temple of Doom and the Indian people when they're talking in their village and they implore you see his humanity. Like even after he gets the stones and he hears the kids down there being whipped and he knows he has to go and
like
save
that
them.
Part.
I love all that. You know what I mean? Because he's not like those other people who are just after an object. You know what I mean? He's got the human side to it. And there's a reason, which I think is a problem with the fourth film. If you look at the first three, there's a human element to what they're trying to find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the third one, you don't get much. The cup of Christ, his father's passion.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, you're talking about, you know, the covenant.
Yeah, you're beating Nazis.
Right. Yeah, but what they're searching for
has
significance.
Significance,
a crystal skull. It just was like a merchandising. Oh, there's aliens, and it's a crystal skull. Nobody. There was no. There's no emotional connection to finding the crystal skull.
We'll tear apart the fourth one.
Okay.
So.
But I didn't hate it. I just.
Okay, it was unclear if you like hated or not because
I hated her.
To me, the second one was like my favorite.
And even today, though?
Because that nostalgia, man, nostalgia is really powerful.
Yeah.
Like, I understand, like, looking at it now as an adult, well, kind of, you can say, like, she's really annoying, but I just remember that movie put me into that mindset of just, like, this is, like, an action hero. This is, like, a good guy. He went, like you said, it showed his humanity, which he didn't have, really, in the first one. Yeah, he was trying to save the world. But, I mean, here, he had the chance to just take, basically, the money and run.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it showed a little bit more layer to his character, which I liked because he was very kind of one dimensional. You knew what he was all about in the first one, but this was a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that, and yeah, she was annoying, but I mean I can kind of tune her out. She was no Marion. I love Marion was so hot in the first one.
And here's another thing. This is interesting, and you would never make that movie today because, you know. It's sort of revolutionary for its time with in Raiders, where the woman was so strong and powerful. I mean, a little bit of running around the streets and hiding in the basket. But she's a tough. She's out drinking the guy in the scene. Yeah,
she's beating people with frying pans.
She's beating people up. She's holding her own against Indiana Jones. So she's a strong. She's, you know, like the movie that came out this summer, Brave. You know what I mean? Right. Or what was the other one before that? I'm making only Tangled, where that was a very strong. I only see Disney references.
Jesus Christ.
But I'm just saying. Well, I'm saying that because the Disney movies were so long, where the woman was the princess that needed the prince to come along. And with both Princess and the Frog, Tangled, and Brave, right. They were very strong female characters that were independent and tough. And the Kate Capshaw, she becomes this ditzy, I only care about my hair, I broke a nail. How many times did she say she broke a nail?
You know what it is?
Yeah.
And I want to put a disclaimer, this isn't anything to do with my wife. But Raiders of the Lost Ark, Marion, is the girlfriend, like, that you're just like, fucking all the time, and you're just having a great time with. She's down with anything. And Kate Capshaw is a nagging bitch that you've been married for 20 years that just bitches about everything, and like, you can't do anything right. Everything's wrong. Like, why are you doing that, Indy? Indy, come back. Indy! She's always whining, but Marion.
I broke her nail!
Marion's not for anything. You could probably do some crazy shit with Marion. You couldn't do that with Kate Capshaw. She couldn't even ride an elephant without dousing it with perfume.
Well, if she can't ride an elephant, she can't have sex with me.
That's right.
Every time, if I get serious with a girl, I bring over the elephants, and I say, you ride around that for a few minutes, you call me.
You make her watch Temple of Doom, and you just wait for her reaction. If she's watching that scene, if she's uncomfortable, then you know it's not going to happen. And she's like, yeah, that looks like fun. You're like, you want to see fun, baby?
Oh, my God.
So, but that was my impression, that that Marion was definitely a stronger character. Kate Capshaw, I think, was probably kind of used as the same kind of vehicle as Short Round, where she was like the audience coming along with Indy on his ride.
You already have one of those.
Yeah, I know.
She was obnoxious.
She was. I mean, I'm not... She was definitely the worst part of the movie.
Oh, God. Does that bother you, all those bugs and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Spiders?
I mean, you squirm.
Oh, God, I can't take it. I can't. Rats don't bother me as much as the cockroaches and the spiders snakes. Ants. Like, did you notice I started scratching my leg?
No, I didn't notice that. I thought you were masturbating.
Down on my ankles?
Yeah.
Thank you. Well,
it's a snake. You're an elephant.
Ride the elephant.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I'm hung like an elephant, but I don't remember any of it. That's the thing. I've had sex with thousands of women, I don't know.
Holy
and that's right. God forbid a mouse come into the room. Look at this. Too bad nobody got to the 50-minute mark. Yeah, I hear that joke.
We should have started with Indy.
So, all right, so then the third one.
Wait, can I make a comment?
No, I've moved on. Yes, go ahead.
So I thought of something that was funny. Like, here's what Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom has taught me. If anybody's ever mean to me or cruel to me, I'm going to assume that they're infected with the black sleep of Calimal, or black sleep of Cali, I think.
I don't know.
And I'm just going to burn them with a torch.
Yeah, and then bring it out of it. Just burn them.
Yeah, I'm just going to, like, hold a torch to them. Because if someone's a dick or an asshole to me, I'm going to assume that they got captured by that head guy. They were forced to drink the blood of Calimal.
Yeah.
And they're infected with the black sleep of Cali.
That is... Well, that's actually a very generous thing, though. Because I just assumed that they're assholes, like most of America.
No, I'm going to assume... I see the good in people.
You see the good.
I see the good.
And so for you, the good of people is that they've been possessed.
Burning the shit out of them. If they're assholes to me, they're going to get burnt with a torch. Because I'm going to assume that they're good underneath. But they're just infected by the black sleep of Cali.
You know what else I like? I like that Indy... There was one point in each movie. Like, he doesn't curse. Except there's like one point in Raiders where he's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And the second one is like, shit.
Yeah,
like that's when you know he's reached his point where he's like,
because Indy doesn't cuss. Indy's a lot of things. He's a grave robber. He's a marauder.
No, the reports were grossly exaggerated.
That's true. But I just wanted to make that point about that that blood. So don't piss me off. I'm gonna torch you.
No, please don't.
Is that all really happened in the second one? Is there anything else that?
No, that was it.
Really? Because I thought the second one was really good, but I guess maybe it's not as good.
I was very disappointed in the second one.
Jesus. All right, moving on to the third. She just really fucked it up for you.
She really did.
I'm sorry to hear that. Kate Capshaw should not have that power. You should burn her with a torch because she's infected with the Black Sleep of God.
To me, the third one was great.
Yeah.
The third one, I'm just sitting there and...
Yeah, I noticed that. You were laughing a lot.
I was really into it. You were
really engaged in the third one.
It's really interesting to see the same character, the same producer, the same writer. It really was fascinating to see all four movies back to back to back. And how quickly the same people in the same product and the same character could go from one film and have me just enjoying it immensely into the next one where I was sort of bored.
Just there.
And fighting. Yeah. But the third one... to me, again, great character development because you're seeing him as a kid. Mm-hmm. You see how he gets the scar on his chin.
Why isn't River Phoenix making any more movies?
Oh.
Too soon? See? It's not too soon.
It's not too soon. Come it just on. Is just... Okay. I know. I shouldn't have. I know. See? As a comedian. Well, you know what's sad? It's like for a second I was like, because he's dead, God. You like, and then I was like, you saw the evil grin he knows that. That's why he said it. He's, you know what, it is a shame because even in that role, isn't he great in that?
The only part that I don't agree with is his stupid haircut.
Why? I guess it's not for the time period, it's not, right?
Because I think when he made that movie, though, that was like during the grunge, like the beginning of the grunge era when everybody had that stupid haircut.
I thought the exact same thing.
That really took me out of the movie for his character. I mean, he had the same mannerisms. He, you know, they give the impression of like him developing into Harrison Ford, but that hair, he was blonde and it was like down in his face. He looked like a, you know, Kurt Cobain.
He looked
Kurt
like, Cobain. Yeah, he looked like a skate.
Yeah, and you didn't expect, yeah, you expected him to be skating around instead of riding a horse, but...
Suddenly he was, he was in Back to the Future.
But that took me out of the movie for a little bit, every time he was messing with his hair, but I guess that they were trying to appeal to that type of audience.
So you start with a really great action sequence, mm-hmm. right? You start with this, where he came from... That even on a young age, that he wants to be in a museum. I mean, it's a very well-rounded movie. So even though it's now the third film, you're getting information about the character that you've never learned before.
Because before this time, we just had to imagine like what he was from. I don't even think I've ever imagined. I automatically assumed that Indiana Jones was just born like at that age. He never had a childhood.
He came out with not an umbilical cord, but a whip.
With a whip just at it. Whoosh. Yeah, so it was interesting because I don't think at that point when I saw it as a kid that I ever imagined him growing up and having a father, which I think added to his level, his layers of and the complexity of his character.
That he wanted to be in a museum, you see the distance that his father shows him, you know. So and then
before you head out, one thing else that that movie taught me was everything that defines you in your life will happen in the course of one day. You will get a scar on your chin. you will not have a fear of snakes, but then all of a sudden you will have a death of fear of snakes.
And why did he? Because he fell in the pit? Because he fell in
that pit. But this all happened. You will get that. You will see the person that you will want to idolize wearing the hat. All this will happen in one day.
And you know what? Today was that day for me.
Oh, God, you're going to wear the hat, aren't you?
I'm going to wear the hat.
You're going to untuck the shirt? Indiana Jones is not tuck, my friend.
I'm assuming that you only said that because you drank the blood of Kamaka, whatever the hell his name is. Chaka Khan. What is it? The blood of Chaka Khan?
Kalima.
And again, I go back to what they're searching for, the artifact. You are fascinated with the fact that we're looking for the cup of Christ, the fact that it's his father's work. Sean Connery, there's an
hilarious
example.
Right?
Hysterical, but they're different in Cape Catchall because he's comedic, but it's never over the top and it's never distracting.
Right.
And then he also is very serious, can be very poignant in a matter of seconds.
Right.
And so, yeah, the third one to me was just a joy.
Yeah. The thing that, I really like the third one. Marcus Brody. Again, I hate Marcus Brody.
Well, you liked him in the first one. You hate what they did.
I hated his stuff.
Did you hear that?
What is that?
Did you hear like a cat meow? Or was that...
Maybe it's someone upstairs yelling, oh, my wife's reading 50 Shades of Grey. Maybe she's peeking.
I was wondering why the cat went, oh, God, oh, God.
Meow, meow. Maybe that's it. Maybe we should wrap this up. I gotta get my kittens good. No, Marcus Brody's character was just, I don't know, because we talked about this, how in the first one he's very much, he's actually the boss, I think, of Jones, right? He's works at the At the university that Indiana Jones works at, he's assistant dean or something.
Is he? Or I think he works at the museum.
Or maybe, but he's it's the same level, right, professionally and academically as Jones, and they're pretty much on the same level. But then in the third one, I don't know if it's just the old age kicking in, but they make him a complete like stumbling idiot. Yeah. Like he can't.
They really
he did. He can't communicate anything. He can't tell the difference between anything. He gets lost.
And yeah, like he doesn't realize a fight is breaking out. Yeah. Like instead of running, he's just like, oh, yeah, no, someone got punched in the face. How interesting.
Yeah, that took me out of it too. I mean, it was small, it was minor, and by no way that
You know, it's interesting because in the first movie, he is the one who tells Indiana Jones about like that it's dangerous and that you're going, like he's almost mentoring him.
Yeah.
And now he, like,
you kind of get that impression.
I'm curious to see if I would have picked up on that. You had said that to me, so I noticed it, and it was, you know, you're exactly right. They make him a buffoon.
Well, even Sean Connery's like, you know, he said, "Where's the diary?" So they gave it to Marx. He's like, "You might as well have given it to the Marx brothers." So I mean, even
I don't think that's what he said.
Yeah, it's like you should have just given it to the Marx brothers.
I think he said you brought it here. With you, see, I should have mailed
that
it
hatred
today.
For Marcus Brody is in.
You know, you actually now writing lines.
I'm sorry.
He said, I knew I should have sent it to you. I should have mailed it to the Marx brothers, and you.
I apologize.
That is Marcus, bad.
Marcus Brody, if you're watching, I apologize.
He would be dialing you right now, but his thumbs can't get on the iPad. he's just like, beep, beep, beep. He's taking three numbers at once.
Taco Bell, can I help you? No, but the third one was very good, and I agree. The Sean Connery, his comedic timing was perfect, and yeah. I don't think he's ever had a comedy like this. Was kind of his first time playing even secondary, because usually in the movies he's usually top billed. I mean, even though he's top billed as a supporting character, like I think his name's right after Harrison Ford's in the credits, but yeah, he's completely, you know.
His name was last, but exactly. So now it was also interesting is that got the most applause at the beginning and at the end. So
and the person we sat in, who sat in front of us, was turned around and was like, "Oh, yeah, it's Last Crusade time."
He said, "I'm glad there's as many Last Crusades fans as I am."
Yeah, I guess they're in your same boat. Like, is that your favorite one out of all of them?
That's interesting. Possibly. It's probably the most rewatchable because of the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have to respect the original Raiders. So it would be a toss-up between 1 and 3.
Okay.
And then 2, and then 4.
Yeah.
Now, why is 4 so bad? What is it?
I think with any movie, I mean, it's really the story. The story, well, first of all, it took them forever to make, and when you see it in Succession, like we did today, there is a huge difference in the way he looks. And I know that you're supposed. I mean, there is. I mean, even between 1 and 2, 2 and 3, there's a slight gradual difference in him. But then 4, he's just completely like his look and even his voice, because he's got that old man voice now, like "get off my lawn, kids" voice. But even the way that his character is treated, like we start off Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and Last Crusade. All three of those movies have the main character Indiana Jones in like some kind of heroic situation. Like the first time you reveal him, like in Raiders, he turns around, he whips the guy who's trying to shoot him. He comes into the camera, and you see the young Harrison Ford looking all heroic with his fedora and just looking like a badass. You know, he has like the 5 o'clock shadow and. Temple of Doom, you have him sitting down, you know, dressing his like tuxedo, looking all suave when he's having the dinner with Chow Lei or whatever.
So was in the fourth one? Was he?
But here's my point. Then the third one, you have him as a kid learning what he's doing. Then when you finally reveal him on the third one, you know, the guy puts the hat on River Phoenix's head and says like, you know, "This is mine, but now whatever." He raises his head and then he's Harrison Ford. But my point is, on all these three movies, he's introduced heroically. In the fourth one, he's drug out of a fucking, like, back of a car. Like, that's how the hero in the movie is introduced. He is literally pulled out of a car. Do you know what I'm saying? That always bugged me. The first, I'm like, this is not how you introduce like this character that like generations have grown to love is like this like really like one of the very first like action stars that I've grown up
right.
with. And you're pulling him out of a fucking back of a car and you're just like throwing him on the ground and he just like gets up with his crusty like back and dusts off his hat and then he's got all these guns on him. I never thought about that.
I
was so disappointed that that is how this heroic icon that I grew up with was introduced. And from that point on, I mean, it was a bad movie. I just knew at that point that this movie was just not going to go well.
You know, it's sort of, you see the age in Spielberg and Lucas. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Like, remember when Billy Crystal hosted the Oscars last year? Like, everybody wanted Billy Crystal to host the Oscars last year. Mm-hmm. And because they had so many bad hosts and everything. And I love Billy Crystal. Love it. But he, like, sort of, like, delivered what Billy Crystal delivers. That sort of, I hate to use vaudevillian twice. I'm not showing off. But that sort of old-style comedian. My point is that it just seemed a little, like, dated or, I don't know. It just seemed like the script, it seemed hokey. It seemed dated. And I go back to nobody gives a shit as to what they were chasing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this, I think Spielberg and Lucas have an obsession with the 50s. 50s and aliens. Yeah. And then they were like, oh, well, let's put this two together. We'll have him, looking for an alien now.
Yeah, it seemed totally out of place. And even this, I hate to say it, but I missed the Nazis. Like, that was a
well, that's the thing.
The Soviets are not menacing. Like, even in our day, they weren't menacing to me. I mean, I know all about the Cold War, but, I mean, you never read about, like, Soviets killing, like, millions and millions of people based on their religious beliefs. You just, right. But the Nazis have always just been ingrained.
They're like such the a most, great like, villain.
The Soviets are just like, I mean, you're cold all the time. That's all I know about Soviets. Right. You're cold and you
was
like...
Was that Cate Blanchett playing that woman? Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Not a fan?
No, she was good.
That accent was just...
Yeah.
For me.
Well, I mean, it was really interesting.
I could tell by the, like... Going towards the end, like everybody was just kind of done. I don't know if that was just because everybody was in the theater for like.
I think that there's some middle part of the movie that wasn't bad. You know, when they're in sort of the jungle and they're going through some of the traps and figuring things out, and I don't think I hated the movie, but certainly the ending. Is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Why do they have to go? They feel like they have to go so over the top. When you look at the first film, how simple it is, and they feel like they have to just get bigger and bigger and more ridiculous. And now it's a spaceship coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
It's like just because you can make special effects doesn't mean you have to make special effects.
And I think that's what made the older ones so successful. They couldn't rely on those heavy special effects. And
right.
They didn't do any remastering on the ones we saw. It was the exact same print that
and it looked fake.
It did, but it was
even
great.
The car chases I mean, looked fake. No, in the fourth that. One. The fourth one.
Oh,
I'm saying.
I thought you meant the other one.
Yeah. Well, anyways, it was a lot of fun. You know, I always love going back. I was lucky to see. We missed the Back to the Future. They did it last year. I was lucky enough to see The Godfather on that big screen. I wish that they would do this every week where there was just a classic film
mm-hmm.
that you could go and see on the big screen with an audience in the theater.
I think it's bankable. I mean, it depending upon the movie, I guess, but it was packed. I mean, everybody seemed to be having a good time.
And not just to bring up Disney, but they're doing like Beauty and the Beast, like to go back and
well,
to take
a Well, we saw Finding Nemo. Well, we didn't see it, but right. We saw that it was playing.
My Garth, I told you not to bring that up.
We didn't see it.
You know, take your kids to see The Lion King for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these kids don't, you don't get to, there's generations of people that don't get to see these great films in the theater. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, it totally adds to it too. And I think that, I mean, it's one thing to be said when you're sitting there watching it with yourself or your family, you've already seen it, but to see it with a lot of strangers that have like that same passion
right.
for it.
Right, exactly.
It's real, like, I can't remember the last time it was at a movie where people clapped. I mean, it was invigorating.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was a kid, After every movie, people clapped.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yo, but now I've seen people clap at movies. I saw the Dark Knight. It came out. Everyone applauded at the end of that. I've been at a few where people have applauded at the end recently. I can't remember them. But and what's interesting to me is our first movie we ever saw together in 7 years of friendship.
Yeah.
We've never gone to the movies.
I'm never allowed out of the house. You caught me in a good week, I guess.
She let you do all four. All that's four. It. We'll, yeah. You know, anyways. Well, this was fun.
Yeah,
this
man,
was our
this
first
was a lot of
podcast. And, well, you know, I think
it went well.
I think it went well. I think it was good. I
mean, we got a little while to get up and running.
And then and then you insulted me my clothes, and we almost.
Yeah, but I'll be nicer next
no,
time.
No, we'll move on. I got over it. I'm never going to get over it. No.
You're going to replay it and just be like,
no,
that's
I know.
Bitch.
Exactly. Well, anyways, well, thanks, guys, for listening.
Thanks
and
a lot, guys.
I guess we'll do another one. And so for two guys, one wall, I'm Larry Noto.
And I'm Garth Gerhardt.
And have a great one. Thanks.